Hey there, I'm Derek Wells, and I'm the host of Why Not You podcast. I'm a coach, speaker, and mentor, but it wasn't always like this. I had to grow myself before I could grow others. I started this podcast to inspire those who have amazing ideas to be intentional and proactive in discovering who they are and to take massive action to develop a plan to exploit those gifts. I'll take you on a journey to meet some extraordinary individuals who have incorporated systems and habits into their lives to reach personal fulfillment. You will feel empowered to take action to become the best version of yourself. Welcome to Why Not You. And this is your host, D. Wells, and I'm joined today by my boy, Edward Doc Amy. Hey, have those notepads, pens out, take some notes. Man is coming on. It's high energy. Has a lot to say. He's going to be speaking from the heart. Completely transparent, y'all. This man's gone to prison, transformed his life. Now he's out there speaking, mentoring, authoring books. Has so much to give and offer to these youth and just people in general. Y'all put your hands together for DOC. Let's go, Doc.
Yeah, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, got my man, Edward Amy, known as the DOC, the Doc.
Let's go.
Why
man.
Not you, brother? Let's go. What's happening, my man?
Man, hey, listen, man. Like, I'm blessed, man. All is well. I won't complain. You feel what I'm saying? Just experiencing life, man.
That's right. Hey, man, before we get it kicked off, man, I always like to kick it off with the quote. But, man, this time, man, we kicking it off with the scripture. With the
Let's
scripture.
Go. You know what I'm saying? I love the word, man. Yeah. I love the word.
Here we go. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness and let them have dominion over .. basically over everything else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just with that right there, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, why I was created today. So we already know God created us in his image, but man, it goes deeper than that.
Way, way deeper.
it goes deeper than that.
Yes,
man.
Sir.
You know, God created people to reflect his image. And so, you know, just to rule over that creation and to produce godly offspring. And he's given us a roadmap to follow just so we could be successful. And so, man, when you think about, when you just reflect on God's word and reason for creating you, you know, man, how does that make you feel?
Man, it made me feel amazing, because just knowing that I was thought about to be here on this earth, even though everything I went through, I finally found out who I was and why God created me. And it was for such a time as this. Like, he created me for one of the greatest times in the generation, when everybody else running around with their heads cut off, tripping. Like, he's created to me to be calm and collective and understand how to help other people that's going through a storm, because I done already been through a bunch of them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, what people call storms right now, that was normal life for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, for real. So I know he created me to do something great in the world, man. I will be remembered forever. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And everybody has the same opportunity, but they watch TV all day. They stay on social media. And guess what? They're programmed to think this, and not understanding that God has created each person on this earth for a particular person to do a job that he needs them to do, man.
That's right. How many people? Man, you said so much right there, bro.
And guess what? And guess what the saddest part about it is?
What's that?
98% don't even know it.
They don't. They just in a stuck routine, man. Get up
Routines
in the morning.
Routines are good. Routines yep. are good.
They are.
Systems
they
are
wrong
good. But you got to know who you are and what you're called to do, and have a routine and a system perfecting that and doing that, though.
That's right. Because I know we weren't made just to get up and go to work and then come home and then watch TV and lounge on the couch.
Man, listen, man. Hey, I can go so hard on this little part right now. I'm talking about I can open some minds like in the next 2 minutes, man.
Let's do it.
Listen, man. So this is what people have to truly understand, right? God can do nothing in the earth without human participation, right?
Right.
So he gives every man and woman and child gifts and talents, right? And it is our job to figure out what that gift is, cultivate it, master it, and then go and find a human need in the earth for that gift. And when you do that, you become the hands and the feet of Jesus in the earth.
That's it.
And so here's the thing. If God gives you something, he's going to give you the best that he got. He doesn't have time to be wasting nothing on nobody, right? So a lot of times people have these gifts and these talents, and they just think that they're good at something, not realizing somebody is going to pay somebody else thousands of dollars to teach them how to do the same thing that you don't have to even think about doing, right?
That's right.
And you know why you don't have to think about doing it? Because if you think about it, right, religious, church, Christian people, we call it the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
Non-religious, non-believers, they call it the subconscious mind. But it's two in the same, right? So if your subconscious mind that's in your mind knows everything that you've ever been through, and when it's connected with the Spirit of God, kind of knows what you're going to go through, so it's kind of helping you, guiding you, and leading you, right? So a lot of times when you're doing something that you're called to do, that you're very good at, and you think that you're on autopilot, you actually are, because it's your Holy Spirit that's connected with your with the Lord that's putting you on autopilot, because that's a gift that he gave you to do. So when you're walking in your gift, you don't have to think about doing it because he's guiding you.
He is.
Like when I'm speaking and I'm talking, I don't think about nothing I'm about to say. I just say what I hear in my mind. And it comes out so easy because that is what I'm called to do. I am in my purpose right now. I'm in my gift.
And we already know the DOC is destined for greatness. This is about this destined for greatness. But listen, man, you did drop a whole bunch of stuff on some people right there just in that 2 minutes, man.
Man, listen, man, it gets
because it's
deep,
all about
man.
That purpose, man. And you got so many people who just aren't connected on a spiritual level. They trying to do things in their own control. That's why they're not successful.
Yeah.
They
are. See, listen, here's the thing, right? Because everybody want to follow trends. I see them doing this, so I want to see do that. So here's the thing, right? If you got 10 people, 2.5 are going to exceed, excel, and go way above to make it look so easy, and it's going to draw attention to them, right?
It is.
But guess what? Those 2.5, they are doing what they're called to do. They're walking in their purpose. They know what their gift is. They've cultivated their gift. They've mastered their gift. And they found what they're supposed to do with it, and they're doing it. And people see that, and they start trying to do it, and it's hard, and it's frustrating. It's not working for them. And you all in somebody else's lane trying to speed, and you looking at them, finna hit them, and not realizing you're not in your lane.
You're not.
That's why it's hard.
And maybe you just need to do some growing, some personal development.
Or any of that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. If you sit back and you just think about, man, what am I pretty good at that I can do effortlessly, really without even thinking about it? And people pay other people to learn how to do it. If you can start boggling that down and figuring that out, that'll get you closer to what your gift is. And then you ask yourself, well, when I do that, this is how I feel. And if you feel a feeling of joy, peace, and release, and know that, man, I can't really explain it, but I know I feel good. That is God basically saying, thank you. And it's nourishing your spirit, letting your spirit, man, know that is your, man, listen, every time I get up to speak, no matter where I'm at, when I am finished, I feel tired, but happy.
That's right. The brother to pour himself out.
You feel me?
Yeah.
No, for real. But that lets me know. Listen, man, I love it. And it was, honest to God, truth, it wasn't until this last 3 or 4 months, man, honest to God. I knew it that speaking is my calling, and I knew all of that. But when I got into this mentorship program with CB, a couple of the kings, we've done a mentorship 9 weeks.
Yeah.
And he talked about our subconscious mind, the Holy Spirit, you know, all of that. And it really opened my mind up to everything that God has already been saying to me.
Right.
But it got me with a different connection where I know he's talking, but are you intentionally listening for him?
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you become aware and intentional,
yeah,
then you start to hear it.
Man, I heard something deep the other day. They were talking about prophecy, and basically, the premise was, we wouldn't need prophets, or you wouldn't need nobody else speaking into your life if you could just listen to God on your own. Being able to be in a place where you could just discern. I was like, man, that is so true.
But see, at some point, you got to learn how to shut off all the noise that's coming from the outside and trust what you know you got on the inside. But so many times, people trusting what they hear and see on the outside rather than what they know they got on the inside.
Yeah. And it goes back to what you said earlier. People need to get off that social media and stop being lazy.
Yeah.
People don't like to spend time with themselves, man, and God. It's a trip to me.
Yeah. Nah, man. Listen, man. I had to spend a lot of time with him, man.
Yeah.
And it was just me and him by ourselves in a prison. You feel me?
Yeah.
So I got that intimate relationship, man. Yeah, nah, man. It get deep, man. I'm telling you, man.
Man, how do you think your past has actually changed your mindset with how you approach life now?
Man, listen, man, my past, my biological dad died when I was 6 months old. My mama was on drugs till I was like 11 or 12. So me, my brother, a couple of my cousins and my uncle, we all live with my grandma while she working 2 jobs trying to take care of all her kids, because all her kids on drugs. By the age of 11, I had already became a product of my environment, doing what I'm seeing everybody else around me doing. I started having kids at the age of 17. I dropped out of school between the 8th and the 9th grade year and started hustling full time. The first time I went to the penitentiary was when I was 21 years old. By the age of 28, I had already been to the penitentiary 3 times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But my kids was getting big at this time. I had all 4 of my kids by this time, but I had 2 sons, man. And they was in the sports. Their mamas had moved them away from the hood and everything. But, you know, I knew how much my sons loved me. You know what I'm saying? They write me letters and this and that, and they hearing the different stories. Because I'm not going to lie, I wasn't a robber and all of that. I wasn't no bad actor. But when it came to being deep in the streets, I was out there and I was young and I picked it up easy and fast and I did real good at it. And I was honest. You know what I'm saying? And I helped people. Like, even now, you know, with my spirit, people love me, man. I'm a genuine person. You know what I'm saying? Just don't cross me the wrong way and we good. You feel me? But I just thank the Lord that I found Jesus, man. You know, because I didn't used to think about that kind of stuff, man.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? But now, man, and I realized that at some point, if I want different for me, and I always knew I was different, man. I knew I was different, man. I've been hearing God, man. A lot of stuff now that I figure stuff out and I'm seeing stuff, and he's letting me remember stuff back then, and he's showing me, and he say, remember this, remember that, and it's showing me he has always been with me, man.
Always.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so my last time I was in prison, man, I was sitting in a hog barn cleaning up hog mess as a job. I had just got my parole denied. You know what I'm saying? And I went in the corner and I just cried out to God. And I said, God, like, man, like, if you real, like everybody say you real, then you'll get me out of this, man. Like, if you get me out of this, I'm done, man. I'm done with the streets, everything, right? So I ended up getting moved to another unit, and I ended up going and getting out like 7 or 8 months later. You feel me? And so in that, I got out November 23rd, 2009. I got out. I was doing real, real good. And my uncle had died in 2011. And you know, my cousin called me, "Hey, man, listen, you know, I know you're doing good and everything, but my daddy died. He ain't had no insurance." So long story short, man, I hooked him up with some people from down there where I was at. We got a few drugs transactions going on to pay for his daddy's funeral. Next thing you know, a couple months down the road, I'm back hustling, back in the game, doing everything I said I wasn't going to do. Wow. And then one day I was in my house looking through my closet, looking for one of them UPS shipping boxes. I was fixing to ship something. Yeah. And a box in my closet fell. And it was everything from prison, my letters, my parole certificate, my pictures, my commissary slips, my notes, my letter, amen, everything. And when I went to pick it up, it's like, not in an audible voice, but I heard God say, "What are you doing? I thought I didn't have to worry about you." Hey, man, listen, I had never been that scared in my life. Like, I knew.
You knew,
I was in the hall going, cleaning up a hall mess, man. And I cried out to God in the real, genuine, like, "This, I don't know what else to do," way. And he answered me. And here I was doing everything I said I would not do, man. And wow. And you know what? That's why the grace of God is so real, man. Because he could, listen, man. I got a picture. So like I say, later on that year, I had started back hustling. Listen, man, my cousin had me get on a train, come all the way to California, pick up a shipment, right, of some codeine syrup, some hydro marijuana. I'm coming back on a train. I stop in El Paso, and I got a picture to prove it. I hug two Texas Rangers, and I got a on the train. That's just my personality, though. You feel me?
Yeah.
And listen, man. And you know what the Lord showed me? He said, "The enemy wants you so bad. Every state line that you crossed coming from Cali to Texas with those drugs could have been a federal case." You feel me? I wouldn't be right here talking to you right now, man.
You sure wouldn't.
You feel me? And God has just showed me, like, "I made you for a time as this, so I know my past and everything that I went through." There's a lot of stuff that just do not faze me that have everybody else like, "Oh!" And I'm just like, "What y'all tripping for, man?" Yeah. But the way that things are turning out in the world, you need people with thick skin like that that can go into them places and look the enemy right in the face and say, "Man, I've been here."
Right.
Guess what? All you got to do is believe in him who sent me here, and he is greater than him who was in the world. You just got to know who you believe in, man.
That's right.
It's real, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all hear the first from the DOC, boy.
That welcome to my world, hey, man.
Hey, man, would you say that was a defining moment?
Oh, absolutely. That was the defining moment, man.
Yeah.
That was, because listen, man, I was cleaning up hog mess as a job in a prison. Every morning I had to put on the white Nomex suit and tape the bottom of my boot up when I walked in this big old hog barn with all of these female and male hogs that they breed. And it was my job to walk in there with a big rectangle of broom and clean all the hog poop out of each thing, putting myself in danger, man. I saw somebody get smashed by one of them hogs, man.
Man, that is wild.
In Texas, it's still slavery out here, man. We got more prisons that make more money than any other business in Texas, man. It's still slavery out here, man. You go to the penitentiary, them folks going to put you to work, man, and they're going to make you work, man. And guess what? If you cry about it's too hot and you talking about you can't be in the sun because of this or that, and you taking that medicine, They gonna make sure before you leave, you gonna be crazy and you ain't gonna be able to go do nothing else but take that meth. Nah, for real, you laughing, ooh-wee, man. Ooh-wee. Now it's real, man.
Yeah.
I done saw a bunch of my partners, man, go down there and play that game. Oh, I ain't going in the field. I'm gonna tell him this and that wrong with me. And then they say, okay, yeah, he say this wrong with him. Well, if this wrong with you, this the kind of medicine you gotta be taking. Ooh-wee. And they start giving them that medicine, not realizing all the medicine that they giving you in prison, those are from big pharmaceutical companies that got all y'all on tests to see how they really work, man. Y'all big test dummies, man.
Ooh-wee.
And them boys coming out crazy. They coming out crazy. That medicine making them crazy, man. So, yeah.
Man, that's a whole nother story right there.
That's a whole nother story, man. That's they ain't whole... ready for that one, though. They ain't ready for that one.
Yeah, you might need to get out with the Ava DuVernay for 13th part two. You know what I'm saying?
Man, say, man, it's modern day slavery in Texas, man. That's why we always the last to ever do something, man. Texas always the last one.
Wow. And I know, man, you mentioned earlier just talking about your environment. Now you just kind of adapted to the streets and everything. Like, so, I mean, when you were growing up, did you have aspirations to do something, or, you know, like, just other than what you were seeing out there on the streets, like, who are your role models?
Nah, so, like I say, my biological dad died when I was 6 months old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was in the streets real heavy, though. He got murdered in the middle of a dice game in Galveston. That's another town over from where I live at. But it was a dude in Texas City that knew my dad. And he kind of took me under his wing when I was like 3 years old. He was like one of the biggest dope dealers in Tech City at the time. You feel me? And so he kind of took me under his wing, you know, see me around. So that was around the time I was like 11 or 12 years old whenever this happened. He took me under his wing. Yeah. And I got in the streets real heavy, man. And them was my role models. You know what I'm saying? Like, they taught me right from wrong. You know, you help people when you see people need help. You don't get in other people's business. You know what I'm saying? And but that's how we knew. You feel me? I went to school. I played basketball and stuff like that. But when my grandmother died, when I was 15 years old, we had to move back with my mama. And when we moved back with my mama, she was living kind of under this guilt of her being on drugs, so she was more of our friend than our mama, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it used to be time, she used to get ready to go to work, she'd come in and say, hey, I'm finna go to work, you know, like y'all going to school. Man, we've been up shooting dice all night, smoking weed, playing basketball in our garage. Like, some days we go, some days we didn't. Right. And the days that we didn't, she ain't say nothing, you feel me? So that went from me moving into a whole spot where we hustle at, like just between my eighth grade and ninth grade year, I think I went to my ninth grade year for maybe 2 weeks. And that was just to show my clothes off that I had been hustling up and hustling and making money all summer. You feel me? But yeah, nah, man. Yeah. But at the same time, I thank God that I went through what I went through and I went through what I learned, because being that I went through all of that and know what I know now, I can have a different angle to know what would I give somebody that I wish that I had when I was that age. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I kind of know what to give them now, because I know what I didn't have. So God let certain people go through certain things because he knows that, hey, when they get it, this is where I can use them at. You know what I'm saying? Because listen, man, every person on this earth has a gift and a talent, man. Like, you have to understand that that is the way of the world. And that's how it worked. That's just like back in the days of Acts. You remember? Right. When they first found out about Jesus and everything, and they came and they said, okay, how much money y'all got? And everybody was loaning to each other. Everybody was borrowing. Everybody was living harmoniously. It's because everybody started knowing what their gift and their talents was, and they just started all giving it away to each other, man.
Yep.
And the world has just got so selfish, this mine, everything mine. And you know what I'm saying? And we look for what can we get from the world instead of what can we give to the world. And when you switch it around, you don't realize that you're going to get everything you possibly could have ever thought you could have got just by giving, man. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what, man, when you were just talking about that and you were sharing that story in Acts, it reminded me of the of the couple. I can't remember their names, but
Ananias and Sariah. They tried to lie.
Yep, they tried to lie.
Hey, say, as soon as he started trying to lie, he dropped right there. Hey, look. Then she coming at right behind him. He asked her just to see what she was going to say. She got to lie. He say, look, there go the feet of the man dragging your husband out. Right. I don't go with him. She dropped
Boom.
Him. That's what I'm saying. Listen, man. People are going to believe in something, right? They're all going to believe in something. But at some point, you have to understand that you have to know that God is real. The Holy Spirit is real. When God said he's going to make us in his image and his likeness, that's what he meant, in our spirit. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so many times people are out here looking for whatever they think they're looking for and just don't understand that what everything that you're looking for is right inside of you. Sit down. Be quiet for a minute and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Just listen.
And you know what I tell people? I say, I would rather live like there's a God, die, and find out that he's really not real, than to not live like it's a God, to die, and find out that he's really real. Because if not, I've only wasted my lifetime. But you done wasted whole eternity, man. And people, here's the deal, what I'm understanding from people that come from where I come from, right? A lot of people, they try to attach God to material and monetary blessings to know if he's real or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they go in believing God with the assumption of, if I do this, then he'll do that. The Bible does say that he would do that, right?
Right.
But your heart got to be in the right place when you're doing it, because you can't be trying to be tricky and sneaky with God. Oh, I'm going to do this. And then if he don't do that, then I ain't going to mess with it. I know that whole God stuff ain't real. Your attitude wrong. You feel me?
Basically, you're doing the same thing to people who just dropped in.
Yeah.
You're doing the
but
same
when you
exact
say, you
thing.
Know what, Lord? Thank you for everything that you have done for me, doing for me, and are going to do for me. And I'm giving this to you as a token of appreciation, because I know without you, I couldn't have been able to do none of this. And listen, a lot of people don't even understand. It don't even have to be money. Sometimes you be sick in your body and don't even know it. And when you start doing what you're supposed to do, God start touching your body to give you a longer life.
That's right.
You can get more money. Let your body start breaking down.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, it's a lot I can say about all of that, man. But yeah, my past have definitely brought me to a different mentality and thinking place, because I've been through a whole lot in my life, but I never quit and I never stopped. And once I got a hold on God, I never let him go. I might have been holding him badly with one hand, but I ain't let him go. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And because of that, he's brought me through some things. He's let my eyes see some things. I've witnessed some things. My ears have heard some things, but I've been able to stand tall through it all, man. So I now have a different view of life, man. I'm looking at life from my feet. You know what I'm saying? For a long time, it was on my behind, but it was never on my face. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I always had a view of it. But I just needed help sometime to get back up, man. And God have brought me through, man. So my past have definitely brought me to a place to understand that I can't do nothing in this earth without God. And I know God can't do nothing in this earth without a man participation. So if I'm going to work for anybody, I might well work for the number one employer. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. The one who actually manufactured you. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, because I already know that you said that you're here, you know, you got that gift of speaking and everything. And I know there comes a time in our lives, man, when we have to ask God, you know, what is it that you want us to do? What is it that you want me to do? What am I here for? And so, you know, when you were going through that part, like, what were those conversations like with God?
So I already know that I'm a public speaker, right? I have a passion for it and all of that, right? So when I start going through the thing with CB, and it started really like I start truly, truly understanding, going digging deep in my mind and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I had a speaking gig, right? And I never write nothing down, this and that. Whoop. But the Lord showed me. That's when I told you about the Lord showed me about how every man on this earth has a gift and a talent that God has given us, right? And then the Lord showed me. I was in the shower. He always talked to me in the shower, man. He always give me when I'm naked. I say, God, I'm already trying to be naked to you, but you get me in the shower. You want to make sure I ain't got nothing to hide. But now he always speak to me when I'm in the shower, man. And he say, you have the gift of speaking. Now you need to cultivate it. And I asked him, I said, how do I cultivate it? He said, every chance you get to speak, I don't care if it's paid or not, you go do it. If you're not doing nothing and you have an opportunity to go and speak, you go and do it, because you never know who needs whatever I got for them, right?
Right.
And I said, okay. I said, well, Lord, that's going to be a whole lot of speaking gigs, because I'm not going to even lie. And he really showed me some stuff. I have turned down a few speaking gigs because they didn't have the budget for me and I would have had to drive. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But God said, hey, listen, if you are able to get there and you're not doing nothing, I don't care who call you. If you're able to do it, you go do it. Because now you're cultivating and mastering your gift.
Right.
And then I said, well, God, listen, man, that's going to be a lot of speaking, you know. He said, you don't have to prepare. You don't have to worry about nothing. You open your mouth and I will put the words in it for you. And so I started trying it. And I realized when I start speaking and I start talking and it just kind of going overload, I actually go into autopilot. I don't even think about what I'm saying. It literally just comes out of my mouth, but I can actually hear it in my mind before it comes out of my mouth. But I don't put the two together to say, okay, I hear what I say in my sub. I'm hearing in my subconscious mind and then telling my conscious mind, okay, now say it out your mouth. It just all does it in one motion. Like, I hear it and then it comes out without any of my control, any of my, no help from me or nothing. I'm just literally standing up there being a vessel and I feel it. It's like I start feeling like an energy in my arms and in my stomach. My stomach starts getting real tight whenever it starts coming. I don't take no breaths. I don't breathe, nothing. It just starts coming out sentence after sentence after sentence. And then when I do stop to get a breath or whatever the case may be, I might be at the end, or he might put me somewhere to give people time to pause to think about what I just said. Man, I take another breath and it come out again. And once I learned that that's how I operate, God said, that is a gift that I gave you. And if I give you something, it is going to be the best of the best. Do you not understand how powerful your mind is? You know what I'm saying? Your mind is like a computer that was never created, because it was just so big you can't even imagine. And your subconscious mind just sits back there and just, it's like going through a database. And whenever your conscious mind give it a thought, it's like it just run through this database to see if it was any of time that you've been through any of that. And if so, it bring that memory back up to you. You know what I'm saying? Your mind is powerful, man. No, like, and if you think about it, back in 1963, when they had the Joseph Murphys and the Never Goodards and the Earl Nightingales and the Napoleon Hills, really believed that back then.
Yeah.
And that's why they was doing whatever they put their mind to do, because they believed it.
Those were some deep folks too. They were deep.
I believe it. I believe it, man. Hey, for real.
So when you speaking to people, do you feel like, because you can already tell you gifted in that area, right? So do you feel like there's like a particular direction that God is moving you towards, like a specific niche? Like whether it's high schoolers, whether it's people who've been to jail or prison or church folks, or just everybody.
Man, listen, man, really, my message is for the underdog, man. Whoever's at the end of their rope and they just feeling like they can't go no more, man. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, it's always going to be hard at first, man. And if you just keep on doing the hard stuff, it will eventually become easy, man. Like a welder, he does not become a master welder the first day he start welding. But because he decided not to quit and he keep on going, now he able to do a TIG weld on a six-inch pipe and get paid $150,000 a year. And that's right. With anything in life, man, if you just don't quit. And I just believe my message is for the underdog right now, man. Everything going up, a minimum wage is, you know, everything is happening. These kids going crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a crazy world right now. But guess what? Who would better be a voice to talk to them than somebody that was actually raised up in the middle of that crazy world,
right,
and can look at you in the eye and say, I've been through this, I've been through that, I've been through this, I've been through that. But guess what? If you don't quit, it's going to be all right. Is it going to hurt? Yeah. But guess what? Anything easy is not really worth having, man. You got to listen. Everybody want to get to the destination, not realizing the destination is the end.
Yeah.
What happens at every movie when they get to the part and it says the end?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Enjoy the journey. Become somebody in the journey, man. That's where you're going to live your life. That's when, listen, man, I have an analogy that God showed me in the shower, right?
Right.
So your life is like a puzzle, right? At the end of your life, when they read out your obituary, people are going to be able to put a mental picture of your life, right?
Right.
But you have to go through different experiences to get that picture. Yeah, when he was 19, he did this. When he was 22, he did that. At 30, he did that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
But so many times, and those different experiences, right, are the different pieces that make up the pictures to put the pieces to make the whole picture, right?
That's right.
So many times in life, we have different struggles. We have different problems. And people, they go into these experiences with the wrong attitude, right? Mm. Not realizing that every experience that you go through that you don't understand, you have to stop, think, figure some stuff out,
uh-huh,
work some stuff out, right, get past it. Now, realizing if you go through it with the right attitude and the right motive behind it, God is actually giving you an opportunity every time to learn something new. What do they say? Experience is the best
teacher,
right? If you go fill out an application right now, what is one of the things they're going to ask you? How many years of what do you have?
Yeah, work experience.
Experience, right? So when you go through different experiences in life, now realizing each experience has different jewels and nuggets that you can pull from it, not realizing that you can use it in different areas in life. And the easier you go through these experiences, the more God can give you and the bigger they can be and the more smarter you will be when you're going through life, man. Yeah. Every day is a new experience. That way God is giving you something new to learn every day, man. And the more you know, the more you grow, man.
And could you imagine if everybody actually applied what you just said, they would be able to do what your shirt says, fire your boss, fire your boss.
Do you hear me? Do you hear me, man? That's why listen, man, and I'm going to just be all the way totally transparent with you right now, man, because I want somebody to hear this to understand, man. Listen, man, so I got married in 2018, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was what I was supposed to be doing, man. But not even a year and a half into the marriage, I knew that that is not where God needed me to be, right? But because of fear of criticism, I was a leader in my church. I was an ordained minister. But because of fear of criticism, I chose to do what I felt like the people expected me to do instead of what I knew God was telling me to do in my heart. And I, you know, I man, listen, I do not condone divorce or none of that, man. But listen, man, when you know what God is saying to you, sometimes God have you have things for you. But if you're planted in the wrong environment, things planted in the wrong environment will not grow. Things that are under stress will not grow. You cannot do nothing good for you or anybody else around you if you are stressed, right?
Right.
So last year, October 3rd, I finally decided I was in the shower again. Listen, we lived in a beautiful four-bedroom house in one of the greatest neighborhoods in Tech City right now. They got a 12-acre lagoon. It's called Lago Mar Lagoon. People to move here from all over the country, right? And I was in the shower and I just heard God say, closing a dream. Closing a dream. And I said, what's that, God? He said, I don't care what anybody else is saying. This is what I'm telling you. You get $100 out your account. You get the clothes that's on your back. And, you know, my other clothes. And you take your dream in your heart that you will be one of the top motivational speakers that this world has ever seen. Mm. And I went in the office and I told her, hey, listen, because we have been having problems, you know. And I just said, hey, I'm done. I got in my car with about 4 trash bags of clothes. And I went to my best friend's house and he let me sleep in his guest bedroom.
Wow.
And that's when I started my campaign, Closing a Dream, man. Closing a Dream, man. And you know what's so crazy? That was in October, right? Things still kind of going, but they kind of inching back. I'm getting back to who I was, back in the community. You saw me. I'm in the community. We in the community together. When I realized that my divorce was final in April of this year, the very next post that I posted went viral. And God showed me that you're not in an environment that is attached to you that can't help you grow. Now, you don't move until I tell you to move, and you go and you do what I tell you to do, and you listen. And that's what I've been doing, man.
Wow.
And my life has been a blessing. Have I been just all the way financially blessed, just being honest? Nah, man. Like, I don't even know, you know, where a lot of stuff coming from. I'm living in a 2-bedroom apartment with my son right now, sleeping on an air mattress, man.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed. I'm not waking up to go to a hog barn every day in a job. You know what I'm saying? I'm waking up. I got my right mind. I got all my health, man. All my limbs working. I get to go to the gym every morning. I'm blessed, man.
That's right.
You feel what I'm saying? But sometimes people got to go through to get to. And people get in the middle of the go through and they stop and they get stuck, not realizing the go through is what helps you get to. So when you get there, you can help somebody else that may be going through that's trying to stop, man. Everything that people are going through are not just for them. God need to use you for somebody else, man. Quit being selfish and go and go through that, man. You feel what I'm saying?
I do.
I'm just deciding not to quit and go through it, man.
Yeah, don't start, man. I'm going to start calling you the modern day Paul. I'm calling Dr.
A round of applause to you for listening to another episode of Why Not You. And I want to thank Doc Amy for this interview. Hey, but this is only part one. We still have some more to go. Yeah, I just ask that you help me to grow others and spread this good news to other people. And by subscribing and following Why Not You. If you've done something extraordinary and what you've learned through the process could be valuable to helping others reach personal fulfillment, hey, please go to the Why Not You website or Instagram page and contact me to be a guest on Why Not You. In the meantime, you all have a blessed week. And remember, we can't become what we need if we remain where we are. So let's grow, everyone, to become the best version of ourselves. Have a blessed week. This is your host, D. Wells.